What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Do presidents have immunity? Can they kill people? Can they intern people in internment camps like Roosevelt did? Where's the line? That's what the Supreme Court wrestled with today. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Some of the scenarios at the Supreme Court were just flat out absurd. And some of the questions that were asked by the justices towards the guy from the Justice Department who's working with the special counsel, Jack Smith, were based on actual scenarios of things presidents had done that could be viewed through the lens of a crime. And in each case, in every scenario, the Justice Department had an explanation for why, no, that would not be considered a crime. Every single one. They brought up Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, putting Japanese, Italian, and German Americans without due process in internment camps. And then the whole lengthy explanation from how that could not be viewed as criminal once he left office. Johnson, Lyndon Baines Johnson, lying about the Vietnam War, how that would not be viewed as criminal once he left office. Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon, how that would not be viewed as obstruction of justice. In other words, every single scenario, the United States Department of Justice came out and said, this president would not be guilty, that's not a criminal act, could not be charged. The only instance is Trump. That's it. They asked about George W. Bush and war crimes, Barack Obama, drone strikes. And in every single scenario, the Justice Department came back and said, well, no, that would not be something you could prosecute because the lawyers wrote lengthy memorandums explaining why these actions were legal and consistent with Department of Justice, blah, 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 blah. Except Trump. That's the only one who does not. And I'll tell you the reason why the Justice Department's making this argument is they want the justices to believe that the prosecution of Donald Trump is one and done, that it's not going to create a precedent whereby future presidents will be tried in court, whereby future presidents will have to worry about their actions while in office and then worry that they could be held in criminal contempt later on down the road. That's what the Justice Department wants the justices to believe. And I don't think the justices were buying it. I listened to all 3 hours today of the Supreme Court hearing because it's the nerd I am. And I did it for you. It's what I do. It's the selfless acts that I do for you. I listened to all 3 hours of it. And in hearing this, I could tell that even the liberal justices were very skeptical of opening this Pandora's box because it could lead to presidents feeling like they can't do their job. And the assurance from the Justice Department was this. Basically, it was like this. Ready? You got to trust us. We're prosecutors. And you got to trust us. And all it made me think of was that famous quote from Animal House. After they crash the car and they go, you know, you blanked up. You trusted us. How many times have we seen prosecutors overreach? How many times have we seen Department of Justice lawyers overreach? But we're told by the United States Department of Justice today, trust us, we would never go after a former president for purely political reasons. You got to trust us on this one. The Department of Justice takes this stuff very, very seriously. And I could almost hear the snickers from the conservative justices on the court who are sitting there going, wait a second, this Justice Department, I mean, how many times have we overruled you guys? Like the Supreme Court overturned a prosecution of a former governor by Jack Smith, a special counsel, in a unanimous decision. They overturned the conviction of a Democrat boss in New Jersey by a unanimous conviction. They overturned the Bridgegate convictions against Bill Baroni and Bridget, whatever her name is. Unanimous decision, 9-0. So the Supreme Court justices are sitting there going, but we've seen instances where you prosecutors have gone and brought cases that were overreach, a huge prosecutorial overreach. And we've had to admonish you for that. To what point the Justice Department turns around and goes, all right, but that's why you're here. Keep an eye on us. Make sure we don't do that stuff again in the future. And then every time there was a hypothetical scenario, it all came back to a president ordering someone's death. Like, literally, could the president assassinate his political rival? Could the president order SEAL Team 6 to kill his chief rival? Could the president, you know, kill anybody he wanted? It all came back to murder. Like, it's like all the liberal justices kept having their murder fantasies going on about presidents just killing people, going on killing sprees. I mean, and Matt, see if you can dig up that clip for me. We'll play it a little bit later of Jamie Raskin. But his scenario of the president killing everybody in the Senate if they were trying to impeach him, just murder everybody. It all came back to that, basically. Like, the president could just start murdering people. But there is an actual example of a president who did order the deaths of American citizens. And it's not a hypothetical. It really happened. It was Barack Obama who ordered the deaths of American citizens by drone strike. And in the course of the exchange and the oral arguments, the Justice Department says, well, that would not be something you could prosecute because the murder statute, even though it would apply to the president, and even though the all the concurrent statutes around that, you know, even though Barack Obama didn't push the button, it's the aiding and abetting of the murder. So, yeah, I mean, for murder context, it could apply to a president, but Barack Obama had lengthy memorandums from the Justice Department saying it was okay to kill these guys. So then, therefore, it would be considered an official act by the president. And then, no, you couldn't prosecute it. So the whole time I'm listening to this going, all right, so all I have to do if I'm president is just have a bunch of lawyers at the Justice Department write legal memos justifying my actions. And then I'm good. I'm good to go. Because that was the answer the Justice Department gave in every single scenario that was brought up by the court. Because, again, their goal is to try to convince the Supreme Court this is a one and done. Prosecute Trump and then never again. You put it back in the box. And it goes back in the box to stay for the next 250 years. Like the Republican endure that much longer, right? Every scenario. Clarence Thomas brought up coups. The presidents who've helped facilitate coups. Presidents who helped facilitate the overthrow of governments where people died. Could they be charged? Well, no, Justice Thomas, because they had lengthy memorandums justifying their actions under Article 2 and the war to the commander-in-chief powers and blah, 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 blah. And the whole time I'm thinking, right, you're giving us an opinion why this could not be prosecuted, but it's not a definitive answer. That's just your opinion. See, once you go down this road of saying that presidents can be prosecuted for their official acts as president, then it's just left to interpretation. And the whole, I got a Justice Department memo justifying my actions is not going to work. Because what's going to happen then is in the future, they'll turn around and say, well, just because your cronies at the Justice Department wrote memorandums justifying your actions doesn't make it okay. It's still a crime. If a lawyer tells you to do something illegal, it's still illegal. And the whole time I'm hearing these arguments, I'm thinking, why is nobody saying that? Why is nobody saying that the Justice Department's whole argument rests upon the premise of, as long as we say it's okay, then the president's golden. But in the future, somebody's going to turn around and say, you appoint the attorney general, you appoint the people at the Justice Department, they work for you, you told them to write a memo justifying why you could have your chief political rival whacked, and they justified it. Using all kinds of various legalese. And that doesn't make it okay just because your attorney's told you to do it. And we're prosecuting you in court. No, that's a ridiculous scenario because I don't imagine a scenario where a president is really going to try to have his chief political rival assassinated. But let's say the Obama drone strike example. Let's say that I'm the U.S. attorney and I argue that just because Barack Obama had legal memorandums justifying the murder of these American citizens, it's still murder. And if the mafia has their lawyer in on it and the lawyer helps them embezzle money, it's the lawyer gets charged too. So while I'm at it, I'm going to charge all those Justice Department lawyers for telling the president he can just go ahead and kill people. I mean, we do actually have a scenario in American history where a president ordered people's assassinations, and those assassinations were carried through, and we were told that that could not be prosecuted because it was within the official structure of the presidency. Can we play that clip, Matt, of the drone strike exchange? I believe it was Justice Alito, if I'm not mistaken, who asked the question to the Justice Department. They gave a bunch of various scenarios, including hypotheticals and also things that actually happened in presidential history. So the drone strike one, the FDR internment camp one, Lyndon Johnson lying about the Vietnam War, George Bush invading Iraq and lying about the intelligence with the weapons of mass destruction, all these things throughout presidential history, Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon. And in each and every case, we were told, no, those scenarios, they would not, because they all fell within the confines of the advice given to the president, blah, 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 blah. But here's this exchange. Go ahead.
In not so distant past, the presidents or certain presidents have engaged in various activity, coups or operations like Operation Mongoose when I was a teenager. And yet there were no prosecutions.
Yes.
Why? If what you're saying is right, it would seem that that would have been ripe for criminal prosecution of someone.
So, Justice Thomas, I think this is a central question. The reason why there have not been prior criminal prosecutions is that there were not crimes.
There were not crimes. And he goes on to explain why they were not crimes, because they were justified under the president's actual actions as the commander in chief and Article 2 and the War Powers Act, blah, 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 blah. So they had an answer for everything. This is the drone strike one, cut number 5. Justice Kavanaugh.
President Obama's drone strikes.
So the Office of Legal Counsel looked at this very carefully and determined that, number one, the federal murder statute does apply to the executive branch. The president wasn't personally carrying out the strike, but the aiding and abetting laws are broad. And it determined that a public authority exception that's built into statutes and that applied particularly to the murder statute, because it talks about unlawful killing, did not apply to the drone strike. So this is actually the way that the system should function. The Department of Justice takes criminal law very seriously. It runs it through the analysis very carefully with established principles. It documents them, it explains them, and then the president can go forward in accordance with it. And there is no risk of prosecution for that course of activity.
Why not? Why isn't there no risk of prosecution for that course of activity? All it takes is a United States attorney or attorney general turn around and say, we think the Justice Department's reasoning was complete and utter BS. Obama killed these guys. And we don't care if it's justified by memos. We don't care if the Justice Department at the time thought it was okay to do. It's still murder. Murder's murder. Charge the guy with murder and then let a jury sort it out. There's even an exchange today where they brought up the grand jury and how grand juries will protect to make sure that doesn't happen. And one of the justices, I think it was Alito, said, how come ham sandwiches are not safe from grand juries? Because the old saying is you can indict a ham sandwich. So you see, the Justice Department is saying as long as we give our legal reasoning for why the president's actions were OK, then it's OK. It's good. And we've got lots of layers to protect prosecutorial abuse. And we know you're concerned about bad justices, but you got to trust us because we take this very seriously. And we have grand juries to protect us, to protect the presidents if prosecutors go rogue and go out of control. That's their argument for why we should let this prosecution against Trump go forward. One and done. No other president in U.S. history would qualify for being prosecuted. Not one, not a single one. They're all saints. They're all saints but Trump. None of them did anything that anyone could interpret as possibly being illegal. That no reasonable person could interpret as being illegal. Now, I beg to differ, because I think reasonable people can interpret things in lots of different ways. And I think idiots can interpret things in different ways, too. And so if somebody disagrees with the reasoning that the justices gave for why, for example, Gerald Ford could not be charged with obstruction of justice by pardoning Richard Nixon, and it goes to trial, and the jury finds him not guilty because Gerald Ford, well, he's dead, but I mean, if he was alive, because Gerald Ford is governed by the pardon power of the Constitution, you still put the guy through a trial. You still put him through court. You still ate up all his personal time and money prosecuting him for actions that he did as president. In every scenario they gave, they covered up, they covered for every president's mistakes that these very smart United States Supreme Court justices could view as a potential crime. And in every scenario, they had a way to defend it. And then the only time they would ever come up with a scenario where presidents wouldn't be covered is when the president just starts going on killing sprees and becomes like Dexter and just starts becoming an assassin. Here is the opening argument from John Sauer. And I think the opening argument is cut to Mac. Cue this up. This is an excellent point he makes here, that without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency. And his opening, it's about a minute and a half. It's worth listening to. It's excellent. Very succinct, spot on. A very, very important understanding. And this is the big story of the day today, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Cut number two.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it. For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts. The framers of our Constitution viewed an energetic executive as essential to securing liberty. If a president can be charged, put on trial, and imprisoned for his most controversial decisions as soon as he leaves office, that looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action is most needed. Every current president will face de facto blackmail and extortion by his political rivals while he is still in office. The implications of the court's decision here extend far beyond the facts of this case. Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike? Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for his border policies? The answer to all these questions is no. Prosecuting the president for his official acts is an innovation with no foothold in history or tradition and incompatible with our constitutional structure. The original meaning of the executive vesting clause, the framers' understanding and intent, an unbroken historical tradition spanning 200 years, and policy considerations rooted in the separation of powers all counsel against it. I welcome the court's questions.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's 100% right. 100% right. But let's go back to the Obama drone strikes argument for a second, where they say that murder would apply to a president, because that's what it kept coming back to today. It kept coming back to murder. But the argument from the Justice Department is the Office of Legal Counsel looked at this very closely and concluded that Barack Obama was good to go. Therefore, he can't be prosecuted. That's their argument. Not because presidents have immunity, because the Justice Department said he was good to go. Now, that's not the same as immunity. The standard being, well, as long as the DOJ gave two thumbs up, doesn't then mean the action's okay. Two thumbs up is not the standard. The standard has to be immunity for presidents, not two thumbs up from some lawyer at the Justice Department who thinks that whacking American citizens is perfectly fine to do. And we kept coming back to murder and more murder fantasies. So here is another murder scenario, this time brought by Justice Sonia Sotomayor, of a president going on a killing spree. Cut number six.
Malum in se is a concept long viewed as appropriate in law, that there's some things that are so fundamentally evil that they have to be protected against. Now, I think, and your answer below, I'm going to give you a chance to say if you stay by it, if the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could, and why? Because he's doing it for personal reasons. He's not doing it at, like President Obama is alleged to have done it, to protect the country from a terrorist. He's doing it for personal gain. And isn't that the nature of the allegations here, that he's not doing them, doing these acts in furtherance of an official responsibility? He's doing it for personal gain.
I agree with that characterization of the indictment, and that confirms immunity, because the characterization is that there's a series of official acts that were done for an unlawful
purpose. No, because immunity says even if you did it for personal gain, we won't hold you responsible. How could that be?
Now, let's understand a couple things here. First of all, she says Barack Obama allegedly, not allegedly, he killed American citizens with drone strikes. Let's understand that. But describe personal gain. I mean, she goes, he did it to keep the country safer. The guys weren't even in the country. They were overseas. What if he did it to help his poll numbers? What if he did it to help his reelection chances? Are those considered personal or are those considered official actions? How do you define this? See, what she's doing here, she's establishing that, well, as long as the president's doing it in the best interest of the country, we don't know if that's in the best interest of the country. Is it really in the best interest of the country for the president to kill American citizens without a trial, without due process? Is that really in the best interest of the country? I don't know. I could make an argument that it's not. Do you want to go down that road? Or do you want to just say the guy has immunity from doing it? And if you say this, well, because he did it for the good, he did it for safety and security and not for personal gain. What if my advisors told me, you know what, if you kill this guy, Anwar al-Awlaki, your poll numbers are going to go up like through the roof. And I go, really? Yeah. Well, can I just kill him? He's an American. Yeah, but we have this legal memorandum that says you can kill him. Really? Yes. We got the lawyers to write it last night. Lays it out beautifully. You can whack this guy tonight. Just give us the order. And my polls will go up by how much? 20 points. You whack this guy, your poll numbers are going to go through the roof. Unbelievable. And they go, what do you want to do, Mr. President? And I turn around and I go, kill him. Whack him. Take him out. Now, have I done that for the country or have I done that for myself? If there's a recording of that conversation and they play it in court one day, is the jury going to conclude that I was doing it for me? Or was I doing it for the good of the country, to kill a terrorist on foreign soil so that he wouldn't one day attack us here? Do you want to go down that road of actually having that argument in court? This is what the precedent will be if you say you can prosecute presidents. Because I'll stand there as U.S. attorney and I'll make the argument. This guy killed an American citizen without any due process whatsoever, who was no imminent threat to the United States of America. And he did it to boost his reelection chances or to distract everybody from diddling with an intern or to distract everybody from something else. You want to have that argument in court? You want to debate that and then let a jury of 12 people decide if the former president of the United States should go to prison for the rest of his life for murder? Because that's what will happen. And you don't have to hypothetical that scenario. That's the scenario. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you want to weigh in. Listen, Dr. Mike Venneri is a great guy, great friend, and the master of dental implants. There's simply nobody better than Dr. Mike. And I want you to go see him today. Now, he's two offices to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey. Just go see him for your perfect smile. VanAria, VanariaDental.com. You will love the great work of Dr. Mike Veneria. You're going to love the smile, and you're going to love the staff. The office is wonderful. The people in the office are terrific. And also the care. For 10 years in a row, he's been recognized as a top dentist in New Jersey among his peers, by his peers. And that says a lot about Dr. Mike as well. VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A. He's been my family's dentist for several years now, ever since Mama Zioli discovered him. And when it comes to complicated dental work, that's the guy to call. And if you already had an opinion, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike. VeneriaDental.com, Dr. Mike Veneria. Are you still holding on to that winter weight? Time to shed that fat and get ready for the warmer weather of spring with NJ Diet. For over a decade, they've helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. You are fully supervised the entire time to make sure you are burning fat and not just losing water. And you even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. Locations in King of Prussia, Cherry Hill and Newark, Delaware, or available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET, 855-5-NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before this summer with njdiet.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
You know, if Robert Bork had been on the Supreme Court, it would have been a great thing. His son is going to join us in a little bit. So this will be a shorter segment since I went a little long in the opening. But I just think the reasoning that the Department of Justice gives us, which is just trust us, and if we say it's okay and we write you a legal memorandum, you're good, is absurd. It's absurd. And I think that every example from history that they gave about why what that president did was okay because of why he did it or blah, 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 they justify it because they, again, they want this to be viewed as a one and done, just Trump and then never again. That genie goes back in the bottle and never used again. You don't start a precedent. But even Ketanji Brown Jackson today brought up the problem with that, the problem with that thinking. And the problem with that is essentially right now, when she said the following, she said, future presidents shouldn't be burdened by the fear of prosecution for their actions, because that's what inevitably happens. Now, the Justice Department then answers that by saying, and Matt, let's cut. Let's do cut number four. Let's pop that up or get that ready to go. Justice Alito exposed a lot of flaws in this thinking, which is that, listen, you know, we have grand juries here to protect people from getting prosecuted. And so don't worry if there's an overzealous prosecutor, a prosecutor who's got it in for a president. Don't worry, because the grand jury will protect them. Cut number four.
Briefly review the layers of protection that you think exists. And I'm going to start with what the D.C. Circuit said. So the first layer of protection is that attorneys general and other Justice Department attorneys can be trusted to act in a professional and ethical manner, right?
Yes.
How robust is that protection? I mean, most of the vast majority of attorneys general and Justice Department of attorneys, and we both served in the Justice Department for a long time, are honorable people, and they take their professional ethical responsibilities seriously. But there have been exceptions, right, both among attorneys general and among federal prosecutors?
There have been rare exceptions, Justice Alito, but...
So as for attorneys general, there have been two who were convicted of criminal offenses while in office. There were others. A. Mitchell Palmer is one that comes to mind, who is widely regarded as having abused the power of his office. Would you agree with that?
I would, but they are two officials in a long line of attorneys generals who did not, and in departments of justice that are staffed by multiple people who do adhere to their office.
So moving on to the second level of protection that the D.C. Circuit cited, federal grand juries will shield former presidents from unwarranted indictments. How much protection is that?
Well, it affords two levels of protection. One is the probable cause finding requires evidence. I think some of the fears about groundless prosecutions aren't supported by evidence, and they're not going to get out of the starting gate.
I mean, there's the old saw about indicting a ham sandwich.
Yes, but I think Justice Alito,
you had a lot of experience in the Justice Department. You come across a lot of cases where the U.S. attorney or another federal prosecutor really wanted to indict a case and the grand jury refused to do so.
This is the thing. But we're told, don't worry about it. There's all these layers of protection for presidents. All these layers of protection. Don't worry. And nothing any president ever did in the past could be prosecuted. Nothing. Trump, one and done. Genie goes back in the bottle and we're good. All right, listen, when it comes to your bathroom, is it getting a little outdated? When friends come over, are you a little embarrassed to let them use the bathroom? If you are, it's time to let Emmons and their design specialists design a bathroom that you will love and one that Emmons will redo in as little as 3 days with custom designs that cater to your unique tastes. Imagine an affordable, maintenance-free bathroom with little to no inconvenience to you and your family in only 3 days. That's incredible. Only 3 days. And Emmons has finance options available. Having your bathroom renovated not only brings comfort and quality of life to your family, it is one of the best investments you can make in your home to improve its value. Don't wait for a bathroom that is a blend of luxury and functionality and one that is truly yours. Call Emmons today at 856-885-6677 or check out their website at callemmons.com. That's callemmons.com. Let the Emmons team create your perfect bathroom sanctuary while adding real value to your home. That's 856-885-6677, 856-885-6677, and tell them I sent you.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, we got a busy day today. Lots to analyze from the United States Supreme Court. The left again trying to oppose corporations looking to merge because they hate the economy. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Robert Bork Jr. is president of the Antitrust Education Project and president of the Bork Communications Group. How are you, my friend?
I'm great.
You listened to the Supreme Court arguments today. I listened to all 3 hours. I found it fascinating.
I did. I went through at least 4 cups of coffee.
How many bathroom runs?
Luckily, my bathroom is right next to my office.
Oh, there you go. That's good. My office is my bathroom. So give me your 30,000-foot view of the case.
Well, you know, I'm going to say something which got my father in trouble during his confirmation hearings. I thought it was an intellectual feast. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed by the arguments on both sides and by the lawyers making the cases on both sides. I mean, really, can you imagine just playing Fungo for 4 hours? That's what it was. It just thousands of questions being tossed at you. But I think I have to come down 95% on the side of Trump's lawyers. I'm not a huge fan of the former president, except for, you know, his Supreme Court nominations and things like that. But I think this is a pretty fair argument that if you're you have immunity if you are functioning as the president of the United States. And I think that's where the rubber is going to hit the road, is whether or not, you know, he was actually functioning as president of the United States or as in his personal capacity or as a candidate. But I think even as a candidate, you're an incumbent candidate, you're still functioning as as president. And of course, and that's not even arguing about the facts of what he said or did or whatever.
Right.
but, you know, it's worth, I think it's worth noting that, and in fact, I was pleasantly surprised about 45 minutes in when Trump's lawyer mentioned my father an opinion he'd written as Solicitor General in 1973 when they were considering whether or not they the government, the Justice Department, could indict Spiro Agnew, who was under investigation by a Maryland grand jury for taking bribes when he was had been governor of Maryland. And my dad wrote an opinion in this, which is still the operating system for this sort of problem at the Justice Department. No one's ever tried to replace it with anything else. And he basically said that, you know, that impeachment and conviction are conditions, or they're precedents to federal criminal prosecution of a president. And then this whole gateway issue came up of, well, you know, when can you indict a president? Well, he has to be a former president, but he has to have been impeached and removed from office before you can indict him, before you can try him. And that was the point that they were trying to make, you know, in their, and they made it in their brief to the court. And he made it, he asserted that in a question and an answer to Amy Coney Barrett. So that was nice for me personally, but I thought it was, I think it's a fair argument. I mean, my phone started ringing off the hook, but
I didn't realize that. That's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Anyway, but I do think that they got that the Trump lawyer got the better of the argument today. Oddly enough, it seems that they gave if I'm right about this, they gave the government's lawyer way more time than they, you know, like twice as much time mm-hmm. as they did. And I was intrigued that when they gave the Trump lawyer a chance to rebut, he said, "No, thanks, we're done."
Yeah, that so, I did not understand that at all. We're just going to pass on this rebuttal.
Yeah, but I think it's a sign of confidence. I don't know if I wasn't really counting heads there. I mean, obviously, Ketanji Brown Jackson thinks this is the Trump position is garbage, and Sotomayor also. But I'm not sure about, you know, some of the others, and I don't think the I'm not sure about what's his name, Kavanaugh. But anyway, I'm not really counting. I really wasn't listening to count heads.
Well, listen, Robert Bork Jr., what do you think of this theory that I have? The theory that I have is that they're going to remand it and tell the lower court, you have to figure out what's presidential conduct and what's private conduct. And then we'll take that case up.
Well, that gets them off the hook. And I think the Chief Justice would love to get off the hook.
Yeah.
For things like this, you
yeah.
know,
and so, it kicks the right. ball down the field. That means basically there's, you know, that we're talking more months now until that would be resolved and then appealed. So, and then they don't have to worry about this. They don't have to answer that question yet because they still have to define what counts as a presidential act versus a private act.
I think you may be onto something there. Yeah. I think that's entirely possible. I haven't watched any of news coverage, so-called news coverage of this today. So I don't know what the talking heads are thinking, but I think you're onto something there.
Well, we're smarter than all those talking heads. They're just better looking yeah. than us, which is why they're on TV. I'm kidding. Now let's talk about why I really wanted you on the show. And that is to talk about some of the antitrust nonsense that's going on. I saw there were a number of moves lately. America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, is at it again. Boy, she just really does not like big business. And then the woman who is the head of this, and we've talked about her before, and I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about this individual. She's just got it in for everybody. And then, of course, the big rule by the FTC, no non-competes. This Lina Khan, she seems just to be like the supreme being.
She is on a roll. She's, you know, I think she's figured out that, it doesn't matter the merits of the case, although she probably thinks they're meritorious, but it doesn't matter because we're in the political season now. So she can help herself and help the president and do damage to our economy all at the same time by, just bringing all these cases that have no economics in them and no facts in them. They're only anecdotal. And you, I know you wanted to talk about this latest thing where the DOJ and the FTC and HHS all got together and said, we're going to put up a website. And people can write in. It's a portal, actually, a portal. They can write in and say, I've seen antitrust violations in healthcare. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to say, I don't know too many people that I know who would be able to spot what an antitrust violation is. What they'll see is stuff that bothers them. You know, they'll have a bad phone call with an intake nurse at their local doctor's office. And go, oh my God, that must be antitrust. And really, this move is pure socialism, and it's, you know, trying to get us all spy and tell on each other. And it won't do them any good. I mean, there's some irony here. You know, this administration doesn't believe in the consumer welfare standard, which has been the operating system of antitrust law for the last 45 years. This is something my father wrote a lot about, and the Supreme Court adopted his ideas, and that's why we have the consumer now at the center of antitrust enforcement. So they don't believe in that. They want to go woke and add all sorts of other things and not rely on economics or facts. And here they are saying, Mr. and Mrs. Consumer, could you please write us in at the write to us at the portal and tell us what antitrust violations you've come across. So I guess they think consumers are good enough to do that, or maybe they think consumers are stupid and they'll write lots of things in that aren't, in fact, antitrust violations. Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote, a lawyer I was talking to the other day said, this is the administration's all gas and no brakes policy. You know, so they are just full speed ahead. Let's do everything that looks like we're helping the consumer, even though we're not, because we have an election coming up. And but I also find ironic, or perhaps strange, certainly, is that this is going to implicate Obamacare. Mm-hmm. Because Obamacare is anti-competitive. I mean, the whole thing was designed to be anti-competitive. It was to put on more regulation, kill competition. You can't see your doctor anymore. You know, actually, although President Obama said you could see your doctor, but you can't. You got to go where they tell you to go. So in the end, I think they're going to end up sort of taking pot shots at Obamacare with this whole thing. But anyway, it's a PR stunt.
The online portal, too, which will let people just start ratting out their doctors and nurses and healthcare providers. And if they have a bad experience, they'll just start, you know, ratting them out to the government. It really will just do nothing other than get government regulators poking in places that they should not be. But that's their design. And then the last thing is that I guess the latest thing is they killed the deal with Roomba. And then a lot of people are out of a job now because of this.
Yeah, the president resigned. People are out of a job. And all for what? The company's going to go under. Does that actually help competition? Does that actually help the economy? Does that help employment? No, they see a boogeyman in every deal. You know, there's no such thing as a good deal, a good merger. They're just killing innovation, job creation, and wealth creation at a time, as I've said to you before, we need it more than ever. I mean, my God, we're, you know, every 100 days we add $1 trillion to the national debt. We need to be growing. And you just saw yesterday, I think it was, our growth rate is declined again. So we're down to like 1.3% or something. We're not going to grow our way out of debt or grow our way into a better economy if we keep kneecapping the engines of growth.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. You got to come back and see us again. I know there'll be no shortage of antitrust things to go. But before I let you go, give me your thought on this FTC ruling, which now obliterates non-competes. I mean, first of all, the executive branch, in my opinion, has no justification doing this. This should be something left to Congress. But, you know, that if this gets to the Supreme Court, I think they'll say that. I think they'll say, like, enough is enough with this. This court seems to be wanting to rein in the executive. But And but this idea of a non-compete agreement and just being null and void like this, I mean, is this a good thing for businesses? Is this a bad thing for business? What do you think?
Well, there's certainly no gray in it. It's, you know, it's black and white, and it's not really a good idea. I don't think. I think it doesn't see. It's not going to help. Little people, the blue collar worker. That's not a little people, but the blue collar workers. It's not going to help. All it's going to do is make it more difficult for companies to rely on key people, and there are a lot of key people, not just CEOs and corporate officers, in the tech sector. It'll probably raise costs, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It depends how it goes. I just think she went at it with a cleaver and not with a scalpel. You know, I can see some arguments for it, but I think as they do everything around here, around the FTC, it's just too much. It's not well thought out.
Well said. The Antitrust Education Project, Bork Communications Group. Go see him online at antitrusteducationproject.org. Robert Bork Jr., always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
It's great to talk to you again.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.